The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they no longer are two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house of the disciples, they asked again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife, marries another, commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such of these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them into his arms, he laid hands on them and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. Have you ever had someone come to you and they had kind of an attitude or an issue and you weren't quite sure what was going on? And so they maybe ask you a question or say you did something or maybe remind you of something that you didn't do. And you find that you're still saying, is that really the issue? Is that really what's going on here? Because you get a sense that something deeper is happening. And then when you kind of probe a little further on, it's maybe that you didn't invite them out to dinner or you didn't call them or visit them when they were in the hospital or that you didn't pay attention, put them on the committee. And so somehow they're upset with you. And that becomes the issue really behind the face of the issue that they bring. You know, we do this every so often. Sometimes we do it with consciously or we do it unconsciously that we have an issue we want to communicate to somebody, but it's too hard. It's just too difficult to be able to speak about it directly. So you kind of speak about it indirectly. And so you hope that maybe the person will ask you, what's really going on? And then that way you can talk about the issue, right? And so this is what I get the feeling of today's readings, because today's readings are multi-layered. And if I ask you to give me a chance to try unfold this text, because it's difficult. The text here is about them, the Pharisees coming to Jesus to test him. And so they ask him about this marriage. And they say, was it something that is good or not? And does God permit it and so forth? And there must be something deeper going on here. Maybe they're testing him to the point that if he says something controversial, like John did, he can say, off with his head. Remember John talked to, Herodias and Herod because he had married his sister's, his brother's wife. And so John was beheaded because of that. They were hoping perhaps that maybe if Jesus would say something controversial, they can take care of him right away, get rid of him right away. But maybe there's something even more going on a deeper level. And maybe it's the issue of order. You know that we create law for order. We live in a world that if we don't have order and we don't have law, we may have chaos. We may have confusion. What if we didn't have red lights and green lights? We'd be crashing into each other all the time. So what we need is the law and order to be able to learn how to live and to function together. The Pharisees bring this question to Jesus because he's going around breaking up every law. He's challenging every sense of order. What is he doing? He's feeding people in the desert. He's taking care of people who are sick. He's even challenging the authorities on the Sabbath what to do with it. So he's challenging the traditions. And then on top of that, he's even challenging the Pharisees, the authorities of the word. And so what he's doing there, he's challenging every single order that it seems to be part of their society. And so when they offer Jesus this challenge and they say to him, "What about divorce?" He takes it up. He takes up this challenge. And what he begins to do, he begins to challenge them on how they interpret this law, how they interpret these rules. He is very much in support of the structure of marriage, but he is much more in support of the structure of marriage being fair to each and every partner. And so for Jesus, the definition of law and order is not punishment, which was for the Pharisees, unfortunately, for many people today. Law means punishment. But for Jesus, law means flourishing. The word law and order means an opportunity for people to flourish. And then what he begins to do is he starts to teach them how easy it was for men to divorce their wives. You know, they've had the issue of adultery as the written word. But if you get into the tradition itself, men could divorce women for anything, for burning your toast, not making your eggs, not making your bed. They were being divorced left and right for no reason at all. And so because they were being divorced, they were being disconnected from the community. They were being disenfranchised, and they were being brought to poverty and brought to utter humiliation because the men had the power to do this. The system of the law allowed them to be able to do this to women, and the women had no recourse. Now, this is what Jesus is challenging, because he's saying this is not the way God made man and women. This is not the way God made the institution of marriage. But he goes even deeper. And the way you understand the text is by looking at the end of the story, when you have these children coming to Jesus and you wonder, what in the world does it have to do with the story, right? A lot of them are children that are perhaps homeless children, perhaps children that are fatherless children, children that are ill, and they come to Jesus because they want Jesus to bless them, and his disciples don't want them because, by God, they're just children and so forth. And Jesus says, he becomes indignant. And when he becomes indignant with them, he says, such is the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is teaching us, perhaps, that these kids were the result of these divorces. What if you were to see that these kids who were homeless, these kids who had no money, these kids who had, they didn't have no 401k. They didn't have no health insurance. Okay, they didn't have any kind of network that would protect them, any kind of insurance to protect these kids. So when they were on the street hungry and lost and poverty and sick. And so they come to Jesus, and the disciples say, no, we don't want Jesus. This is what the kingdom is all about. But it is much more about them, because they're the ones that are cast out. And so Jesus is teaching us in this reading today that he is including these people that are being divorced by these very righteous people, because they become the homeless, they become the poor, they become the sick. Does that make sense so far? It's not that Jesus is choosing a side on marriage. And I know there's lots of people here who may have been divorced or have been experiencing an aspect of divorce. And this is not a good experience. You are torn and you're ripped asunder by these horrible events, and your life is turned upside down. I mean, we know lots of children who suffer because their parents are getting divorced. And so divorce is something that's wrong in itself, because it affects so many people. But Jesus is telling us it's because we interpret it wrong, and we're interpreting it in favor of one group over against another. And that is the wrong thing, because the real way that marriage should be is that there's an equality between each of them. There's an equality between the woman and the man in the same way. But it's the same system now at that time that is favoring the man, that is favoring the man today. Just look at what's happening outside in the Me Too movement. See what's happening outside in the world, where people are standing up and want to say that they've been abused, and to some extent they're not even paid attention to. The thing is that we still have a lot of work to do in this area, because people need to be heard. The systems that we have today must be looked at from the eye of mutuality. Is it fair? Is it fair to everyone? And this is what Jesus is really getting at, that the marriage was originally man by God, and what God put us together, no one puts asunder, because God wanted the marriage to be a place of flourishing, a place of love, a place of mutuality, a place of freedom, a place of joy. But many marriages are a sham, unfortunately. Many marriages are entered because of the wrong reasons. It could be because they just can't wait to jump in bed. Or they just can't wait to have a sense of power over somebody. You know, the real marriage is made over time. Over time. You go through situations. You go through difficulties. You grow through problems. And you begin to understand the person's basic instincts, the basic core of who they are. And you begin to see them and the quality that they've been all along. And this is what you begin to love. You fall in love in the beginning. But you stay in love throughout the relationship. And it's the relationship you have to work on. It's the relationship you have to figure out. And Jesus is saying the way we look at the relationships today are not fair. They were fair then, and they are not fair today. And we have to look at it. But there's another thing that Jesus says that maybe we need to hear. And that is, no matter what end of that relationship you were in, whether you were a divorcer or the divorcee, where you were the pain in the neck that did it, or you were the one that suffered the consequences, God loves you anyway. God loves you all. This is not a God that's going to keep you from the table of the Lord and tell you you can't have communion because you're divorced. This is not the God that's going to tell you you can't come to church and you can't do certain things because you're divorced. God is going to tell you, you can come here because you are a child of God, and I believe in you, and I love you, and I died for all of you. And this thing that you call divorce and all that, and the way you're using it and interpreting it, this is your way of seeing the wrong picture. This is not the way God had it in mind at all. So today we're being challenged to look at the laws and things that we relate to each other. It's a difficult problem. People don't like talking about it. People don't like talking about divorce. It's painful. It's hard. Some people are angry, hurt. But God loves you anyway. That's point to point. You're not being separated from the love of God because of that problem or that situation that came up. But God wants us to see that when God put something into effect, he did it for us so that we can flourish, that we can love, that we can grow. And so we need to look at these relationships in a whole different light. You step into a relationship with someone is because you want to help them become better. You know, the unfortunate thing is that some people, this is an old saying, okay, so forgive me. The woman marry the man to change the man. And the man marries the woman to keep him as his mother. Right? I mean, you want to keep the relationship like that. So it's an issue that people have to look at. You don't enter a marriage to change anybody. That, my God, would be the worst thing to do. You come to enhance the person. You come to enrich the individual. You come to celebrate that person. You come to live with that person and everything. Because think about it. When you invite somebody to marry you, or you invite them to do what? Be a chauffeur, help you clean up the kitchen, wash the bathroom, clean up the kids. These are things that are ordinary. These are the things that you begin to really develop the fabric of your relationship with as you go through them. And then you begin to see the soul and the spirit of that individual. Falling in love is only the beginning. And here in America, what we do is we get in trouble because the moment that passion seems to die out, we think there's no love. Marriage and relationships, it's about the everyday things you have to do. You know, the basic work, the chores that you have to do. But the commitment is what is the problem, the issue, right? So Jesus is telling you, it's the commitment that we have. And the commitment that was being understood was wrong because it favored the man in the beginning. It favored the Jewish man. How can you divorce a wife because you burn your toast and cause an economic ruin? You know, and there's a book, it's a tractate, it comes from the Talmud. It's called Get, and Get means a divorce. And what you can do, if a guy wanted to divorce his wife, he would write a divorce form, and if she was within a few feet, he would throw it at her. And if it landed maybe within 8 inches from her, she was divorced. He didn't even have to talk to her. He didn't even have to confront her. He could just divorce her. That was not fair. And that's why Jesus was upset. And Jesus said, that was not the reason why you're married. And that's not the reason why God made these rules for marriage. He made us that you could love each other and flourish and live and be mutual. You're the same as anybody else. You're not better or less than anybody else because you're a woman or a man. Come on, guys. This is an issue of the 21st century. We're dealing with it today. And so we have to look at it in the light of the context of religion and of God's word, of Jesus' words, not a political issue, of Jesus' word now, okay? Where he's telling us that any relationship is worth making mutual and fair. So that's my 2 cents on this topic. Amen.